Is this the same question I asked you all the time, but is this the year?
It's funny you asked that because I'm in the middle of writing a column on this.
And you're going to say...
And the honest answer is I don't know. I'd like to say, yeah, definitively, but I can't. I mean, there are too many variables at play here, Jeff. There's the 8 games on the road to begin the season.
Right.
There's injury problems because Altidore is already going to miss the first 2 games through hamstring. So mm-hmm. how long is he going to be banged up for? They're going to miss Bradley and Altidore for the Gold Cup.
Javinko's
probably away for the Euro.
Right.
They brought in these new defenders who on paper, yeah, it looks set, but you never know how it's going to work out on the field. And I'm not entirely convinced about Greg Vanney being the guy to bring this all together. So it's a crapshoot. It really is.
It seems that, you know, one of the things they've done this year that I find interesting, in the past couple of years, they've added a lot of talent. It seems this year that they've added guys with MLS pedigree, whatever that is.
Sure.
Guys who have played deep into the postseason in MLS, guys who are used to all the travel, et cetera, et cetera. I'm thinking of guys like Will Johnson and players like that. Is it going to be more difficult to make this all mesh starting with 8 games on the road, 8 matches on the road compared to at home?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
Just in terms of practice time, because, you know, when guys travel, obviously, the quality of practice after you've traveled tends to be less than the quality when you're at home.
There's that, and there's the fact that in MLS, you really pick up the majority of your points at home, and whatever you get on the road is just extra, right? So now the good thing is that they have the experience of this. This is what they did last year. They started 7 games on the road, so I'm sure they've kind of ironed out any kinks in terms of travel, in terms of diet, in terms of practice time and all that. I'm sure it's running a lot more smooth. But you can't get over the fact that 8 games on the road, they're not going to be at home until May. That's pretty daunting. So they're going to be behind the 8-ball if they don't sort of pick up some points here early on.
How much of a difference is Clint Irwin going to make to this thing?
Well, see, that's another one too. I mean, you'd think that he's an upgrade on Joe Bendik and Chris Konopka. I'm not exactly sure that that's the case. I mean, on paper, it looks like that. But, you know, everyone says, well, he's an MLS veteran, but he's only really played 4 seasons. I don't know that. I think Bendik and Konopka were average goalkeepers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that Irwin is that much better.
Right.
To me, it kind of seems like a lateral move, but we'll see. I mean, if it pans out, great. But again, I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, and the defense as a whole was so bad that it's kind of hard to, I would think it's kind of hard to judge the goalkeepers based on the defense, right? Because a lot of times it looked as if there was no community. I mean, it looked like a mess.
Right.
I mean, it looked like people didn't know what they were doing back there. You know, how much of that, and it's interesting you mentioned Greg Vanney, because I wondered last year as I watched what was going on, how much of that was the product of a lack of talent and how much of that was a product of just a guy who may not be good enough to coach. I mean, I look at the game against the Impact and it just looked to me like that was a club that wasn't ready to play.
I think it's more the latter than anything. I think there was enough talent there that team should have been better than whatever it was, 6th place in the Eastern Conference and bowing out the way they did in the playoffs. You know, Greg Vanney he's a very intelligent, astute student of the game. I think he might be a good coach one day, but there's no question that he's been learning on the job, right? This is his first head coach appointing job. He's only been as an assistant once before. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not entirely convinced that he's the guy to pull this all together. The team has never really been consistent under him. They've kind of gone through 2 wins here and there, but we haven't seen this team really kind of lay down a marker and show who it is under Greg Vanney. Maybe they do that this year, but there's no question he's definitely on the clock. He's had that 1-year grace period. He has to produce results this year. Otherwise, I suspect he's not going to be here for long.
What does this team do when Javinko, I guess we can look ahead, Javinko, Altidore, and Bradley, when they're involved in national team duty. Is there enough depth here to, well, you're not going to, that's silly. I know you're not going to replace Javinko, but is there enough depth here that even if they have to make some sort of tactical change to make up for the loss of that talent, that they can pull that off?
I'm skeptical of that. I really am. I think maybe
those are three. Will all 3 of them be gone at once? Sorry to interrupt, but is there an overlap?
I think there might be a little bit overlap, but it won't be much.
Okay.
But even losing Bradley and Altidore, those are 2 key pieces missing. I think they could probably get away with losing Bradley because for me, I think they have enough midfield depth, even when they cut loose They traded Colin Warner this week. I think they have enough midfield depth that they can sort of switch things up tactically. Attacking depth, I'm not sure up front. I'm not sure that they have enough. I think they would really miss Giovinco. And again, Altidore with, you know, he's going to be away and just you don't know how injuries are going to pan out because he missed a lot of games last year through injury. I don't know that they have enough depth up front to withstand long absences of either Giovinco or Altidore. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Toronto FC starts their season against New York Red Bulls this weekend. Who are the teams in the East, the favorites in the East? Who are the teams in the East to keep an eye on?
Well, I think the Red Bulls, for one. I mean, they're the defending Eastern Conference champions. They were one of the best teams in MLS last year. And it's, you know, it's interesting. They don't have, you know, it's only two DPs, but they're low-profile DPs. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think they were front to back one of the most solid and balanced sides in the Eastern Conference. And I think Columbus too. I mean, they got to the Eastern Conference, to the MLS Cup final last year. They've re-signed Kai Kamara. They've kept the core of that team in place. So I think they're going to be really difficult to beat.
Who are the newcomers to keep an eye on this year?
New teams?
Newcomers, new players?
Is there any? That's an interesting one. I don't know. I think for me, the most fascinating thing to keep an eye on this year is the whole Drogba situation because he's come out yesterday and said, well, my knee is bothering me.
I can't play on turf.
And it's, as so happens, four of their first five games are on turf. So I'm interested to see how that plays out and how, not that Montreal is a bad team without him. I think they're a good team, but there's no question he takes them to another level, as we saw last year when he joined the team. So I'm really interested to see how far they can go with Drogba and how, and you know, he's 37.
Right.
He's not a young guy. So I'll be interested to see how much playing time he plays and how much committed he is, especially after the whole Chelsea saga in the offseason.
And that's, I mean, that's still one of the issues for MLS teams, isn't it? Is trying to gauge the commitment of the guys you bring over from Europe. And yet Toronto FC is lucky because one thing about Giovinco, and I remember you pointed this out very early when he came over, he was kind of different than a lot of other guys that were coming over. This wasn't a 34-year-old guy just kind of looking to finish a career, make a little money. This was a guy who kind of wanted to reestablish himself. It's really important, I think, to have that player as your on your team, isn't it, if you're an MLS club? A guy who is committed to being better as opposed to just, I'm here just for the money.
Oh, absolutely, and especially if, you know, that player is a designated player and you've kind of built, you know, the attack largely around him, it's absolutely critical. And I think we've seen that with Michael Bradley, too. I mean, obviously he came back to MLS following a successful career in Serie A in England and in the Bundesliga. And he's shown great commitment, and you can tell that he wants to be here, and he's, you know, invested. And I think that's the case with Giovinco. I think that's the case with Bradley. I think that's the case with Altidore. Drogba, I don't really get that sense, but, you know, you certainly can't argue. I mean, he produced last year. Whether he can do that again this year will be sort of the interesting question to keep an eye on.
Giovinco was so good last year. Is there another level for his game to reach here at MLS?
I think so. I mean, everyone keeps saying, well, you know, he's had the 1 year, so he's kind of been found out a little bit and teams know what to expect. But he's such a great player that I don't think that matters. I think he can elevate his game. And, you know, teams had problems stopping him last year. I think they're going to have problems again. If he remains healthy, then I think he's going to have another off-the-chart season.
Is he going to get a little more benefit of the doubt from officials this year because he's been here for a full season? You know, I mean, I'm not throwing officials entirely under the bus for what happened last year, but there were times last year where, quite frankly, he was mugged.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's part of the game. We get all that. But do you think that maybe he gets a little bit more respect, maybe from opponents as well this year, because of how good he was and because of the season he had?
Well, I don't think from opponents. I think they're going to continue to hack him down because, you know, New York City FC did it twice quite effectively. And, you know, those were among his, well, the one game in Toronto was his worst game. So I don't think the players will. The refs is an interesting question. I'm kind of two ways about it. On the one hand, they probably might just because of, you know, he has, as you said, he has been in the league this year. But last year when he got all those muggings, he was pretty vocal. I mean, he was pretty, not that I want to paint the picture of him being a crybaby or whining, but he let the officials know that he wasn't pleased. So I wonder if that might turn them off a little bit in terms of him getting the benefit of the doubt. We'll see.
Have you been down to BMO?
I haven't, no.
I'm just wondering, I have to throw a mea culpa out here because I was scared about how the renovations were going to go and what it's going to look like. But it looks like it still might be a football stadium. It looks like it still might be a soccer stadium when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Is this the final you know, is this the last year we're going to see TFC start 8 games in the road? Is this the final stage of renovations? Is there something else that needs to be done?
There's one more stage next year, but I don't believe it's going to sort of force them to be on the road for a prolonged time. This was the major, these last 2 years was the major sort of a part of it. So, yeah, hopefully the club won't have to do what they did the past two seasons. But, yeah, I mean, and that's the other thing, too, is the Argos start playing on this year, too. So now they've worked out the schedule where they think the grass won't be adversely affected by the Argos trampling all over it. But we'll see. I'll be very interested to see the first rainfall after the Argos play and then TFC has to play next time.
Well,
how the grass is going to hold up.
I was thinking some of those storms that we see roll through here that we've seen TFC play through.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the grass if there's Argos storm, TFC, or vice versa, and see how it holds up. John, thanks for doing this.
No problem. Anytime.